The reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 37. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Oaths. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Thank you. Now, for those that are really kind of the keen among us will notice that our reading this week, starting with divorce, touches very strongly on adultery. So actually, it could fit very nicely with what Tim talked about last week. But then Tim would have been speaking on murder, adultery, lust, and divorce all in one talk. So, this morning I won't properly take us into the verses on divorce. The only thing I'll say here is that ideally divorce wouldn't exist. But there are times as well, and I think Jesus acknowledges this, that times when a marriage is beyond repair. Jesus isn't giving a full nuanced teaching on marriage and divorce here. He is, however, quickly challenging a culture that was taking divorce too lightly, which I think is something he'd do today as well, okay? So just to say that, I'll be focusing instead on verses 33 to 37, the passage on oaths, okay? Something I'll be focusing on really with what I'm sharing with you today is thinking about integrity, or even kind of radical integrity. And by this, I don't want to kind of flatten what Jesus teaches, at the same time, I want to make it accessible and easy to grab onto. So I'll be referring to integrity, but please realize that when Jesus says, like, let your yes be yes and your no be no, that it's profound and robust, and we need to wrestle with what he's saying, and we will. But so as we begin, I want to highlight the fact that actually, and I think you could come up with your own examples, there's loads of ways in our culture where we get used to a lack of integrity, and it's just expected, okay? So should I give you some examples that I could think of, right? Like integrity and first dates. Like, can you imagine, right? Going on a first date. I know it's our first date, but things you should know about me. I have issues with my parents. I need to avoid eating too much cheese. I don't always look and smell like I do right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do we do? Instead, in a first date setting, everyone knows that you put your best foot forward, and basically you're reading into the other person going, that's not really what they're like, is it? You know, like we put our best self forward. You know, when it comes to like a first date, what do you do in your spare time? I enjoy long hikes and picnics with friends. Not, I enjoy Netflix while playing Angry Birds and eating popcorn. You know what I mean, right? Or how about integrity and job descriptions, right? Integrity and job descriptions. Like, my job description includes the cure of souls for Coombe Down, Moncton Coombe, and South Stoke. I'm supposed to take care of the souls of 7,500 people. Are you kidding me? Or integrity and the police. Like, think about this. Sir, do you know how fast you were going? We learn to do what? Play dumb. Like, right? In that situation, we would probably all play dumb. No, none of us would probably honestly say, well, normally I go about 5 miles over the speed limit, but today I've been in a hurry, so it might have been more like 10, right? Or integrity and politics. We learn at times to choose our words carefully What does integrity look like when addressing two people of very opposite opinions? Or integrity and white lies? Like, you know, how do I look in this? If it's bad, we don't say it. You know, we might say something subtle like, I'm not sure that's your color, by which we actually mean, get that far away from you. And so it's really interesting then, trying to wrestle, what does integrity look like? What have we accepted? And perhaps, like, what does radical integrity look like? And by the way, I think it's right sometimes to tell a white lie. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is all straightforward. And yet, as well, interestingly, for our passage, how do we go from murder, adultery, and divorce to what I'm referring to as integrity? Like, or a better question might be here that we should be asking is, why did Jesus find this so important? And I would say that this is fundamental to our character as people of heaven on earth. Like, can you be trusted? Authentic relationships are made and sustained by words. And this idea here of reaching for oaths, which we'll come back to, undermines a person's credibility and the reputation that a Christian should carry. And so my prayer for us this morning, my prayer for myself as well, is that we would be a people of integrity, of truth, of reputation. People that can be trusted by everyone around us. And so whereas it might not be possibly as exciting as last week with murder and adultery, what we have here is fundamentally significant to the difference that we can make in this world. Okay? So let's get into it. In verse 33, we have them referring to what they would already accept, and that's that oaths shouldn't be made in the Lord's name. Fine. And then we get to verse 34, where Jesus turns things and he goes, do not swear any oath at all. So let's first of all ask the question, they're making oaths, but why did they do this? In the ancient world, you didn't have the use of contracts like we do today. Like, we have them everywhere, right? Today, if you wanted to, you know, like, they would have to go, like, really, I'm going to keep my word, you know. That's why they're making these oaths. Today, what would we do? We would get a lawyer. We would draw up documents that we sign. We would have the law courts to fall back on. A person might even put up collateral. Like, if I don't pay, you can take my house, right? So without our legal system, how do you guarantee something? And so there was something about that, about these oaths in that. But as well, more than that, it was a way to install confidence. In an oath, they might even ask God to essentially be the witness and punisher and punish a person if they don't keep what they've said. And so it's interesting trying to think, I'm not suggesting that the equivalent to not keeping oaths is us like never signing a contract, right? But there's interesting, that's the system that we have, and I think it's a good system. So then we have interesting questions like, what Jesus is teaching here, what does it look like for us? Now, by the way, I do think, however, at times, and I want to ask this will be kind of fun. At times, our system is getting ridiculous, right? And so, for example, how many of us, like you kind of have this, so for example, on your phone sometimes, where you need to accept pages and pages of legal conditions. And I don't know if you've noticed this recently, I find they even then ask you to confirm that you have read the legal conditions. Like, you don't just accept them, you also confirm that you have read them. Can I ask for a show of hands real quick? How many people actually read the legal conditions? Anyone? There we go. We got one. We had one at the 9 o'clock. Oh, not another one. Okay. Hey, crack on. Do you know what? Donald and Andrews, true story, was awarded $10,000 by his travel insurance company because they put in the small print a reward for anybody who actually read. And here's some weird ones recently that companies have done just for the fun of it. In 2017, the Manchester-based firm Purple provided free Wi-Fi to over 22,000 people. In the terms of service, it said that there was a commitment to 1,000 hours of community service, which could include cleaning toilets and relieving sewer blockages. Right? Or how about this? Londoners, this was F-Secure that did this, they included what they called a Herod clause. And the clause was that basically the Wi-Fi was only provided if the recipient agreed to assign their firstborn child to us for the duration of eternity. GameStation went so far as to have a box that was, that you opted into. You'd have to untick the box, right? And essentially said it granted the company a non-transferable option to claim for now and forevermore your immortal soul. What? And so, like, what's the equivalent for us? How do we project beyond what we should? What do we do, perhaps, that might be similar to what they were doing here? Now, there's something weird that comes up in the passage, and that's that, if you notice in verse 34, so do not swear any oath at all. And then we get all these examples, either by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem, and do not swear by your head. Like, why talk about all the things that they could swear oaths on? And the reason for this is because it's attacking their excuses. They know they shouldn't swear by God's name, so they've come up with other ways to make oaths that are somehow acceptable. And it even gets weirder than this. Matthew 23, Jesus highlights this. So Matthew 23, verse 16, here's what he says. He says, and just notice what they were doing. Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he's bound by his oath. Verse 18, you also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. And so what we find is that they have come up with different excuses, which we might find odd, but were culturally acceptable at the time as to what this should look like. And again, it's easy for us to look back on them and go, how foolish. But I wonder how our society, our culture, our time could be challenged today. See, here's the thing. I think we all like to think we have more integrity than we do. Right? There was a study, and I like this because actually I think this could apply to a lot of us. There was a study that was done in California by UCLA. And what they did is they noticed that people would pour loads of money into their backyards with pools and trampolines and keep it all perfect. So they'd pour loads of money into their backyards. And if you were to ask nice middle-class people in California, they would say that they regularly use their backyard, right? And so then they did this bit of research, checking out how much people actually use their backyard. And what they found is that children averaged fewer than 40 minutes a week in their yards, and adults logged less than 15 minutes per week. And here's what one researcher noted. Rather than use their outdoor retreats, people would retreat by turning on a TV, computer, or video game screen. People don't like this image of their lives, so they don't acknowledge it. Instead, families perpetuate the illusion of spending time outside because that's clearly the ideal. Right? And so what happens is we all go, oh yes, I have integrity, and yet we've come up with lots of ways that sometimes we don't, but that we know are okay with everybody else. And radical integrity, what like Jesus is talking about here, stands out. It's different. Again, verse 34, but I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Jesus takes issue with this because God is the one who has power. And Jesus invites us to a better way of living, again, that honors God through and through. And so what does Jesus propose? Verse 37, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. I like how the older NIV would put it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. See, we are to be people of character and reputation that do exactly what we say. In Jesus' day, this meant rejecting a cultural system in favor of a life of integrity. I don't think we are able to do that in the same. We don't have a system that's broken like oaths. But we are still challenged to have a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees, to live a life of radical integrity. And so as I close, let me just highlight a few bits. I think we need to have integrity in our social lives. We need to have integrity with family members, or especially as a parent. And we need to have integrity in the workplace. And those might be fruitful areas to reflect on for yourself. See, I think we're never more like God than when we keep our word. And so we should determine not to tell a story that's bigger than what actually happened. Or we should confess temptation to adjust the truth to our liking. We shouldn't cover, extend, twist, put spin on, or inflate the truth. We should be wary of image making in our society. And I want to close with a story, but I love the challenge in this story, but I want to ask you in the middle of it, like, what would you do? Okay? Let's check this out. Mark Mooring tells the story of a time where, from his own family, and he says this. He says, it was late, and my young sons, Peter and Paul, had very Christian names. Okay. Had been, and he's about to go to a Bible study. Like, man, oh, come on. All right. No. Anyways, his young sons, Peter and Paul, had been in bed for at least an hour. My wife and I had just returned from our Bible study group, and I snuck into the boys' room to say goodnight. Dad, can I have some ice cream? No, Peter, it's way past bedtime. But Dad, you promised. And he was right. Peter had asked for ice cream earlier in the day, but we didn't have any. And I said, I'll get some for you later, I promise. Dinner came and went. We cleaned the kitchen. The boys picked up their toys. The sitter arrived. My wife and I left for Bible study. I'd forgotten all about the ice cream, but Peter hadn't. Now, think for a moment. If you're, as a parent or as a grandparent, as a family friend, if you're in that situation, what would you say? I think I know what good parents would say, right? You would go, I'm so sorry. Maybe we'll be able to get some ice cream tomorrow. And then tomorrow it might not happen, right? I love what he does here. He says this. So even though it was after 10 o'clock, I hopped in the car, drove to the convenience store, got the ice cream, and hurried home. Peter and I enjoyed that chocolate vanilla swirl together. After all, I had a promise to keep. Right? You see, integrity, the sort of integrity that Jesus calls us to, goes beyond what is expected. It says that we are a people of our word, of reputation, of trust, such that people know that, and it surprises, it should surprise people around us. That's what we're challenged to. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us with this. Father, how this works out for us socially, with family, in the workplace, or even in other ways, in our relationships with others. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people of radical integrity. I pray that you would highlight for things for us that maybe things that we can't even see right now or that we don't want to see. Pray that you would encourage us and enable us. that we might be people of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.